Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the show. This is a podcast about the strange and unusual, the secret and conspiracies, the fringe and the supernatural. This is a show where we do little to no research on our topics. We are not professionals in any field except speculation. This is the Secret Transmission Podcast, and today we are going to be talking about the Alyssa Lam mystery. I am
Batman.
I am your host, Toby, and with me are a couple of dudes.
Yo.
What's your names, dudes?
Rudy.
Tyler.
All right, fellas. Today, we're on the case of the mysterious death of Alyssa Lam. Tyler knows nothing about this. Rudy fell down the rabbit hole on this one.
Head first, man. I did not realize.
You would think this one was a simple either conspiracy or paranormal thing.
Right.
But it's not.
No, there's so many elements to this thing. It's bizarre.
So let me give you a little story of what happened. In the middle of February 2013, a guest at the Cecil Hotel in Los Angeles began to complain about the water. The guest said that they had low water pressure, and the water was oddly colored and had a pretty bad smell.
And a funny taste.
That's
the part that blew my mind.
Ooh, yeah.
A sweet taste, somebody said, too.
Ooh.
Yeah.
So, on February 19th, a employee went to the roof where they had four 1,000-gallon water tanks. When the employee opened to check the tank, he found Alyssa Lam's body floating face up. They had to drain the tank so firefighters could cut open the tank and remove her body.
Mm-hmm.
So,
not just face up, but all of her belongings were, like her clothes and her watch were
next
with
to her. Yeah.
Not she was on naked. Her. Yeah, she was naked in there.
So, I mean, yeah, that's weird. There's a body. So you immediately think murder.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know anything about this case, you think there's a murder. But we'll get more to that in a little while.
Or skinny dipping,
right. So I'm going to tell you a little bit. I'm going to tell you a little bit about Alyssa Lam. Alyssa Lam was a 21-year-old Canadian student at the University of British Columbia in Vancouver. Her parents were immigrants from Hong Kong. She was on a trip to Southern California and referred to it as her West Coast tour. On her Tumblr blog.
Mm-hmm.
Her planned stops were San Diego, Los Angeles, Santa Cruz, and San Francisco. Tyler, how many of those have you been to?
Two?
funny, so was Alyssa Lam. Sorry, that was a bad joke.
No, that was an awesome joke. So, she was traveling alone. She had just posted pictures of herself at the San Diego Zoo. On January 26th, she made it to Los Angeles. She was actually sharing a room on the fifth floor at the Cecil Hotel. The roommates complained about her, and later the hotel's lawyer would say... The lawyer would say they described her as having a certain odd behavior. She was moved to a room to her own after 2 days. She was diagnosed with bipolar disorder and depression. She had been prescribed Wellbutrin?
Mm-hmm.
Lamictal?
I have no idea what these
are. Lamictal?
Mm-hmm.
Seroquel? And Efoxor? Effexor. I don't know what that is. I didn't look up the drugs.
Right.
But I'm sure they're not going to be a good cocktail of... We'll get into that,
well,
too.
Well, apparently she was on them, and she... the popular thing is that she had refilled her prescription, which is what you typically do before you take a trip.
Right.
So, because when they found her meds, she had more than she was supposed to have. So it makes sense that, you know, if you're going to go somewhere...
For extended time.
Right, if you think you're not going to be able to get to meds, you want your doctor to fill you up. So, that's kind of an issue later on, some investigators are like, why she had more meds than she was supposed to. It was like, well, it's kind of what you're supposed to do on a trip. So.
Apparently she had a history of suicidal attempts. Some claim she had gone missing at a different time once before.
Mm-hmm.
In 2010, she started a blog called Etherfields on Blogspot. She would post about her disorders and things she liked. And, you know, she was just very open on it.
Right.
January 2012, a post titled, "You're Always Haunted by the Idea You're Wasting Your Life," which is a quote from Chuck Palahniuk, the guy that wrote Fight Club. I was going to start naming off some of his other books, but...
Isn't that Fear and Loathing? Did he also write that, too?
No.
That's another guy?
What was the quote?
The quote was... Here, let me read it again. "You're always haunted by the idea you're wasting your life." I'm not really sure which book that's from. If I had to say anything, I would think it was either Fight Club or Lullaby or maybe even Survivor. Because those are all kind of...
I think it's Survivor.
But it could be Choke, too, now that I'm thinking about it. Because, I don't know, Chuck Palahniuk, he always writes kind of depressing characters that are always struggling with
Invisible
life.
Invisible Monsters?
Yeah. That's one I haven't read yet.
Oh, that's one of my favorites.
Oh, damn it. Anyways, this is the Chuck Palahniuk podcast.
I thought we were going to be talking about
something
else.
Thank you for joining us again.
Anyways, she dropped several of her classes, leaving her feeling so utterly directionless and lost. Do you like how I rewound? I'm not editing that out either. She worried how it would look on her transcript.
Transcript.
What did I just say? I said skipped, didn't I?
Yeah.
Anyways, she worried how it would look on her transcript on dropping so many clashes. Fuck, one sentence. I'm stuck on one sentence. Okay. She didn't want it to look bad on her, is what I'm trying to freaking say. She abandoned her Blogspot blog for her Tumblr in March 2011. Not important facts, but they're facts, and they're there. So, anyways. So, let me give you a little info on the Cecil Hotel.
Yeah, this place by itself is fascinating.
Yeah. You know what? This Cecil could turn into its own episode.
Did they touch on the American Horror Story tie?
Yes.
Okay. I'm just asking.
We need a sound effect for when you jump the shark. Jump the gun.
Is this the... They based it off the hotel in American...
Okay, I'll go ahead...
I haven't watched the season.
I'll go ahead and get to that. So,
I need to. It's supposed to be really good.
Apparently, the main plot, or the main idea for the American Horror Story Hotel is kind of based off the Cecil. Because the Cecil was supposed to be like a high-class hotel. But, here, let me tell you. It was built in the 1920s. It costs $1 million to complete back in the 20s. That's a lot of money. Or I guess that could be inflation included. I don't know. I didn't really double check on that.
Ooh.
It could have been $1 million in today's money.
Right.
I don't know. But anyways, it said it was $1 million to complete. So I assumed it was during the time that it was completed. It's located on 640 South Main Street, Los Angeles, California. It's a budget hotel with 600 guest rooms. So this is why I think it was supposed to be a more upper-class hotel. But what happened was it got hit by the Depression in the 30s. And, of course, you know, the money wasn't there, so you do what you do, lower your prices, and now you're a budget hotel because you get... not fancy people, and I don't want to degrade someone.
Because, like, isn't, like, a Skid Row right around yes. that area, too? So, real bad neighborhood.
Yeah, it ended up turning into a really bad neighborhood.
Mm-hmm. LA is known for that.
And it's weird because you can go, like, a block up and go around the corner, and it's, like, really nice neighborhood. It's weird how that... It's right on that line between bad and good.
Yeah, driving through LA, it's just like, there's just rough spots everywhere.
Really?
It's like rough, rough, and beautiful. Like, you're like, what the hell?
Did I just go through a time warp?
Well, Cecil sits on one of those little bizarre, good and bad spots, so.
So here's one of the real first weird things that I found. Elizabeth Short. She was the victim of the Black Dahlia murder.
Mm-hmm.
She supposedly stayed at the Cecil right before her death. So, that's one weird thing. Goldie Osgood. I didn't really care to look into it, but apparently she's the pigeon lady of Pershing Square. She was raped and murdered at the hotel. Jack Unterweger stayed at the hotel. He was a Australian serial killer who murdered prostitutes and was convicted, released on rehabilitation, became a journalist, and started killing again.
Good old rehabilitation.
Yeah, he was on a roller coaster of kill, 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 good, and kill, 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 kill. Richard Ramirez stayed there too. He is famous for being the Night Stalker, a serial killer, rapist, burglar in the mid-80s.
Mm-hmm.
So many suicides have happened there. Apparently, I don't know how true this is, one suicide actually killed a pedestrian passing the hotel.
Oh, my God.
Wow.
Oh,
that would their day was suck. Just awful.
Yeah.
So they've had renovations to try to fix the hotel's image, but with a reputation, you can't polish a turd.
Right. Well, and they also say that when you look at the pictures online of the Cecil, they're all really beautiful and extravagant and golds and it's all bright and pretty. But if you actually go there, they're like, it's pretty bleak. What they show online is nothing what is actually, you know, there
right.
at the hotel.
So a lot of paranormal activity is reported there.
Mm-hmm. Certain rooms and floors too, right? Like the 14th floor?
Oh, I see. I don't have any particulars on that.
That's what I'd heard. My research was showing 14th floor seems to be a popular one, which technically would be the 13th floor, because they skip
13th
floor.
Yeah, that was in our superstitions episode that mm-hmm. we talked about. They most skip buildings floors. Skip 13.
Mm-hmm. And it's a 15th floor building?
Is it actual 15?
It's or actually a 14, I think.
Sounds right.
But it's 15 floors on the elevators.
Oh, okay. See, that's... That I didn't look up. I should have looked up how many flights it is, but that is weird. Is it? We won't get into it. So,
you get confused enough. So, just reading words.
Yeah, I know. Jesus. So, the disappearance. This is why the disappearance... these are all the facts of the disappearance, I should say. She always kept in touch with her parents.
Mm-hmm.
She was scheduled to check out of the Cecil on January 31st, 2013, to leave for Santa Cruz. The Los Angeles police were called. Well, let me go back. There's also a few places I saw that she was supposed to check out February 1st. So I couldn't really clear that up if it was the 31st, but she was supposed to be checking out.
She was supposed to be done and out by the 1st.
Okay, that's what I thought.
That's what I've read, too, and what I've seen.
The Los Angeles police were called, and the family flew to Los Angeles to help with the search. Hotel staff say they saw her alone that same day. Katie Orphan, a manager at a bookstore outside of the hotel, said she saw her that day. She was outgoing, very lively, very friendly, while getting gifts to take home to her family.
Mm-hmm.
That's what Katie told CNN. She was talking about what book she was getting and whether or not what she was getting was too heavy for her to carry around as she traveled. So, just seemed kind of normal. Was
right.
Not acting crazy, which might be important. The police searched the hotel to the legal extent. They searched her room. They had dogs go through the building, including the rooftop. They couldn't search all the rooms due to not having probable cause to believe a crime had been committed. So, they don't have any blood. They don't have no screams. So, you can't just kick in a door and say, hey, we're searching. You still got to go by the law. On February 6th, the LAPD passed out flyers with her picture on it. On February 14th, LAPD released the video of the last known sighting of her taken by the surveillance camera on February 1st. The surveillance camera.
This is the strangest video.
It's 4 minutes long.
Mm-hmm. Or is it?
There are some reports that say that there's a minute cut out of this.
Mm-hmm.
And that causes a lot of conspiracy theories as well.
Well, first of all, when you look at the surveillance tape, the timestamp is completely garbled. You can't read it. Which kind of defeats the purpose of having a timestamp, because it's supposed to establish date and time.
Right.
So.
February 19th was when her body was found in the water tank. Guests in the hotel left after finding out they had been drinking contaminated water. And the reason it's contaminated is not because dead body in the water. It's that when she passed away, feces and...
just human bile in right. general.
So that's more the reason. I mean, yeah, you still don't want...
oh, I'd be puking my guts out if I found out my water had a body in it.
Right.
I'm not gonna lie.
The hotel paid a bunch of the guests to relocate to another hotel. Any guests that decided that they would stay had to sign a waiver saying that they were made aware of the health risks.
Brave souls.
So, God. A bunch of smartasses left a bunch of Yelp reviews trying to make light of the situation during this time. I didn't even go to look and find them. I just knew that they weren't going to be good.
Oh, no. No.
The health department made them drain the water and clean the system before refilling and testing again, they were testing for, like I said, feces or whatever.
Right.
So that's how they were testing to see when it was clean.
Or some conspiracy theorists would say they were washing the evidence out.
Right. Mm-hmm. So, one long-term guess that there had been flooding on the upper level room following
Liam Neeson?
Yeah, Liam
Neeson. Oh, shit.
So...
she has a particular set of skills, apparently.
And drowning is one of them. Aw.
Terrible.
I know.
Be terrible.
Or what did she drown?
Right.
Anyway, so... but that's something that's really weird, that mm-hmm. they found water. I don't know. It's there, though. I'll put it out there.
Yeah.
Let's go ahead and... take a quick break right here.
Mm-hmm.
And when we come back, we're going to watch the video. And I know this is a podcast, but you're going to listen to us describe the video. We're going to kind of give a commentary like we're directors. So we'll be right back with more.
Hey there, fellow podcast fans. Do you love comic books and especially Swamp Thing? Get out of the bayou. So do we. Come check out the Parlapod Show, the world's only podcast dedicated to the muck-encrusted mockery of a man himself, Swamp Thing. This is some serious arcane audio. We also have a sister show, Splurch, where we dive into the world of comics and all the crazy aspects of life. Give us a listen at Parlapod.com, iTunes, SoundCloud, our YouTube channel, visit our site, Parlapod.com, and consider supporting our Patreon for some really cool rewards and exclusive content. Check us out on PodcastRadioNetwork.net every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern. Join the conversation on Twitter by following @Parlapod. We'll see you in the swamps.
In the swamps.
In the swamps. In the swamps.
Hey everyone, you guys should listen to the Podians of the Galaxy podcast. We're a podcast that involves movies, gaming, and pop culture. So, give us a listen and... wait, what the hell?
Get away, brother!
Oh, God!
It's like, you suck at your job, brother. Yeah. Listen here, it's like I got the macho man right here.
Let the mega powers show you how a promo's done.
That's right, little dudes. If you get your vitamins and all that and your minerals and all kinds of other crap that you do... you can listen to us at the Podian Podcast, a.k.a. the Podians of the Galaxy. Check us out, brother.
Movies, video games, other things.
And we are back. Barely. Okay, so what we're going to do here is we're going to watch this video and kind of give a... commentary, and that way, if you've never seen the video, you kind of get the idea of what's going on, and when you get a chance, you need to watch it. It's only 4 minutes long. Just, you know, go to YouTube, search Elisa Lam, and,
just look for the 4 minute one.
Yeah. So, we start with the elevator door shut, and now she walks open. In. She's all right. Got a red long sleeve, like, hoodie maybe on?
Like a long sleeve shirt.
Yeah.
And like a black skirt.
And she's leaned down, she's pushing, she pushes the button, she goes and stands in the corner.
Mm-hmm.
She just stands there.
Right.
Kinda, wait, looks like she's waiting on the door to shut, just like you she would.
Pops her head out, looks both ways, real quick.
Yeah, she throws one foot out and steps out pretty far. And now it looks like she's hiding in the corner beside the door wall.
All right.
And just she's standing
up against
there.
The panel.
And you can see her mouth moving. So it looks like she's talking to someone and she's peeking her head around right now.
To the right.
And
she kind of looks like she's talking to someone.
Yeah, like.
And she steps out.
And now she's looking the other direction and she just stomped her feet.
It jumps out. And then does this little hokey pokey dance.
Like she's in and out of the elevator this whole time.
Now she's kind of off camera.
Like, going down to the hallway towards the left.
Right.
When at first she was looking towards the right a minute ago, when she first poked her head out.
She's trying to get another elevator right now, possibly?
I don't know how that hotel's set up.
From what I understand about that door, because she's still outside right now, the door in that hotel, and it's been tested by other people who've gone to look at this thing. Oh, now she's going back in.
Waving her hands.
Yep, she's pushing buttons.
Now
like,
she's
like a bunch of buttons.
She's pushing all kinds of random buttons.
Right.
Like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, she's lighting that board up like a damn Christmas tree. She's still pushing buttons.
Yeah.
Just random buttons, or what appears to be random.
Right.
Maybe I have something for you later.
She goes back out.
She stands in front of the door. After she pushes all these buttons, she walks back out.
Now she's leaning to the right, and she's making weird hand motions.
These hand motions she's making, her hands look limp. They look like her hands are broken. They're not, but it's not a normal move that you would do with your hands.
She looks
like
she's doing like a little dance or something right now. Like just outside the door. Anyway, like I was saying earlier, though, because she just stands outside the door the rest of this video, if I remember correctly. Other people have tested this door.
Now
and
she's
they say,
walked off completely.
Right.
Keep going.
That if you hit the door open button, it will stay open for an ungodly amount of time. It will stay open for the length that they're showing here.
Well, that, and usually elevators, when you walk past, when you put your arm out or something.
Mm-hmm.
The door's going to stay open because there's a sensor.
Right.
So maybe that reset, every time she was hopping in, hopping out.
Right.
Because the door's still open. She's nowhere inside of this video. And it
and see, all
just
of a sudden
now
it just closes. But there was like a little skip. Did you notice that?
Huh. Is that where the minute is possibly missing?
Well, no. The minute was before that. But if you'll notice, the door just kind of, it starts showing it. Like
midway,
right? Like part of the way after it starts. Cause see, watch when
and
it
see,
opens
now,
and shuts. Now watch when
now
it shuts
the door's
again.
Opened again.
It doesn't do that skip. Watch. See,
yeah,
there's a little skip there the first time it shuts. Like something's been cut out.
Huh. Anyways,
so yeah,
so
and that's it. The rest of the video is the door opening and shutting on different floors.
Right, because she hit 900 buttons.
Right.
Yeah, that's And here it is opening again to a different floor. And that's what happens when you hit the button 5,000 times.
It just goes up and down and does whatever.
Okay, so she's acting weird.
Mm-hmm.
She goes missing that same day of that surveillance footage. She's found, what, 2 weeks later?
I think so. I think she went missing
on the first.
Right, the first, but they didn't find her body till the 19th, so yeah.
Let's see.
Wow, that is a long time there drinking contaminated water.
Right.
And they even did a search with cadaver dogs and everything on the roof.
But supposedly they didn't go towards
right, they
the
didn't
water
go
tanks.
Near the towers or tanks or anything, so.
And since.
But you would think somebody would look in the tank if they're going to be doing a search.
Right. Well, and since then, the hotel has had many, many lawsuits.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of it's been thrown out as, like, well, how were we supposed to know? You know, right. You're in a restricted area that's not supposed to be able to be gotten to easily.
Because the family did sue the hotel.
Yes. And so did a lot of people that were staying at the hotel. Okay. But since then, they have put a lock, some type of locking system on those hatches on top of the water tanks.
Right. Because it looked like you could just pull those hatches off. From the pictures that were like...
But they looked heavy, and that's what all the reports say, that they're heavy.
Right.
We'll get to all that.
Okay.
Let's talk about the autopsy. Lamb's body was taken to the county coroner office for autopsy. Jason Tovar and Yulia Wang did the autopsy. They concluded that it was an accidental drowning with bipolar disorder as the significant factor. The full report was released 4 months later. The report said she had been found naked in the tank with the clothes floating next to her, coated with a sand-like particle, mm-hmm. with her room key and her watch. No evidence of sexual assault. No evidence of a suicide attempt. Toxicology tests found her medications in her system. Cinnatab?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what Cinnatab is.
I don't either.
S-I-N-U-T-A-B, and ibuprofen. So I'm thinking some kind of over-the-counter
right.
flu medicine, something like that. Who knows? And no recreational drugs were found in her system. So just her medicines that she's supposed to have, some ibuprofen, whatever that...
S-I-N-U-T-A-B?
S-I-N-U-T-A-B.
Okay.
So afterwards... 3 days after the initial report of the...
It's for sinuses.
Oh, okay. So
allergy meds, yeah. Basically.
After the initial report, 3 days after, the accidental death was changed. What are they called?
Coroners?
Coroners. They changed their mind to undetermined, and they initialed their correction.
Hmm.
So they couldn't figure out what the death was. Caused by, anyways.
Right. We have to think that water's going to dilute a bunch of things.
19 days worth of water.
Right. I mean, if she was sexually assaulted, that all that evidence probably gone.
Drank the evidence.
It's probably... it's probably diluted.
It's whatever, not funny. Why am I making these jokes? I'm
whatever
sick.
Chemicals were in her system, so, you know.
Right. All the fluoride killed it all.
Yeah, big fluoride. You're welcome, guys. Another mystery because of big fluoride.
Her Tumblr account. This one's weird. It was still being updated after a few days after her death.
See, I don't know anything about Tumblr, but supposedly
there's a queue option.
Yes, and you can set it up to where even if you're not active on it, it will post things that you like or that you know.
And I could see that being a possibility since mm-hmm. she was on a. Vacay.
Right.
She had some stuff for her Tumblr.
That way when she got back, she could go look or, you know, whatever.
Now, here's another interesting thing. Her phone was never found.
Right. Right. What teenage girl or what 20-something is not without their phone these days?
Right.
I wonder what... then again...
So her phone's missing and posts are still being made. I don't know if that has anything to do with anything. Still, just weird. I mean, you know, the post could have been from her phone. Could have been from a hacker. Or a Q system.
See, I thought the posts were, like, long after they found her body and everything, though.
Yeah, I don't know. So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. It could have been a Q system. Who knows? Right. So, are you ready for some... theories.
Let's do it.
Because there's quite a few.
Yes, there are.
The suicidal or accidental drowning. She had depression. You know, she wrote about it in her blogs. She had medication. They ruled her death an accidental drowning in the first place. Toxicology reports came back negative. No visible injuries to her body. She lost her phone before her death, so there's a belief that maybe she was maybe having some kind of nervous breakdown, couldn't contact her friends or family, and just had a panic attack and, you know, drowned herself. Whatever. apparently the medication she was on was also known for giving the user psychosis and hallucinations. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So this could have been, like I said, suicidal or accidental because of medicines. How do you feel about possession, Tyler?
You know what? I was gonna say something since, you know, you mentioned the hotel being haunted. I was like, okay, I bet this is gonna be brought up at some point during this podcast. Oh, I'm all for it. Let's hear it.
So during the video, it looks like she's pushing buttons randomly. Remember, she's pushing all kinds of crazy ass buttons for a long time. It's not like she's just like putting her finger up at the top and just sliding it down and hitting them all. Some people claim that she's pressing these numbers 14, 10, 7, 4, and B. Okay? And people think that these numbers can be linked to the Book of John. A religious angle. Hear this. John 4, 7. And if I'm reading these wrong, just know I don't know how to read the Bible.
Okay.
I don't know how to read as it is, and now I'm going to try to read the Bible.
See, I never came across this one, so go ahead.
This one's
I'm
good.
Curious.
John 4, 7. A woman from Samaria came to draw water. Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink," for his disciples had gone away into the city to buy food. John 4, 10. Jesus answered and said to her, "If you knew the gift of God, and who it was who says to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." John 4:14. "But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fount, ain of water springing up into everlasting life." The weird part about these posts, they're all about water.
Mm-hmm.
Where was she found, guys?
In a water tank. I think that's a bit of a stretch, because I couldn't tell. I couldn't tell. Yeah, on the roof. I couldn't tell what she was pushing. I had no idea what she was pushing.
No. Well, I mean, if you... Let's just say you know the order of the buttons, and mm-hmm. you can... Because it is... That footage is grainy as hell.
Right.
Can't see nothing.
So unless you've actually been to the Cecil, and you got the picture of the display... And we're able to somehow
watch where she pushes. Yeah.
Right.
So, I mean, it's just a theory.
Right.
So maybe she was trying to wash away a demon. Who knows? Something about water, though, is tied to this. So, the plot thickens with possession.
Ooh.
Do you know a little man named Aleister Crowley?
Aleister? Yeah.
Some believe she was possessed by the man that claims that he is the beast. He is Mr. 666, okay? Like, he's claimed this. Aleister Crowley was a occultist. There is all kinds of weird on him, and we will have to do a future episode on him, because he is fucking full of weird. Not just full, he's fucking full of it. So... apparently, he stayed at a Cecil Hotel in London in the 1800s. I don't know if there's a connection to the two Cecil hotels.
I noticed that a lot of people are trying to make connections to this thing.
Well, here's one.
Yeah. Through names and all kinds of things, similarities.
So while he was staying there, he wrote a poem. And I tried my damnedest to find this poem because I wanted to read it.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's not a poem. I think it's a fucking story. So
okay,
I think it's a lot more than we would want to read.
One of those long ass story poems,
right?
Yeah.
But the gist of it that I got was the poem is about Jephthah, someone from the Bible, I believe, who is a judge of Israel who sacrifices his own child by burning her alive. The child's name is Celia, which is an anagram of Elissa. It's S-E-I-L-A, and Elissa is E-L-I-S-A.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, weird.
Very strange.
Crowley also drew a picture of an alien-looking being that he called Lamb. He believed he had contact with Lamb. Some think he may have possessed her, and her hitting the buttons of the Book of John was her trying to break free from home.
Gotcha.
So that's where back to the button pushing comes back into play.
Is there any like history of her being an avid reader of the Bible for her to make that connection?
I don't know.
See, I couldn't find anything like that either. Like religious beliefs, all that good stuff.
So, but that's my possession part of it.
Right.
What if she was murdered by a hotel staff member or a guest at the hotel?
Mm-hmm. Very feasible.
It looks like she might be playing peekaboo or talking to someone who might have been in the hallway. The door to the roof needed a card key.
Mm-hmm.
There was a fire exit that could have led up to the roof as well. So someone living at the hotel or an employee would have known the layout of the building and known how to get to the roof using the fire exit or just simply use the damn card key.
Right.
Or however the key system works there.
There were actually like 3 fire exits, weren't there, to the roof?
You know, I don't know. But still, if you know the layout, then yeah, you could get up there. The fire exit did have an alarm on it.
Mm-hmm.
So if it were ever opened,
it's supposed to ring at the front desk, right? That it got open.
But no alarm was ever heard. Even on the day of that video, you know, no alarm was ever heard.
Oh, possibility that I heard on this theory is that somebody premeditated it and shut the alarm off in advance.
That could be very
knowing
plausible.
They were going to lure her up there.
Or maybe they had already done something to her.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. And then, you know, turned it off so they could get up there.
Exactly.
Also, like I said earlier, people would believe that that door, the hatch on top of the water tank, would have been too heavy for her to lift. And I don't think it's that it would have been too heavy to lift. I think it would have been too heavy to close back, because when they got to the tank, it was already closed.
Right.
So once she got in there, she would have had to have closed it on top of herself, and that may have been too heavy. I don't know.
Because depending on how full the water is,
right.
Those were, what, 8-foot towers, I think?
I think so. I thought,
you know, and if you jump in, and if you're screwed, if it's anywhere from half to an under, you're not going to be able to reach up to pull it back down on yourself.
Why would you take all your clothes with you, too?
Yeah, why would? Well, okay, what if she jumped in with clothes on, and it was weighing her down, so she took the clothes off? That would be my only thing of...
Right.
Like, you're getting tired
of... But then your watch, and then your key card, too? Because all that shit was found off of her person.
Yeah.
Floating around.
Yeah.
It was like they were all dumped in after the fact.
Right.
Or thrown in beforehand. I mean, I don't know.
I don't know. It's... it's really hard to say.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, I do have one person of possible interest. And, this is not our opinion.
Okay.
This is... I'm going to put the link in the description so anyone can go click on this and find out who this person that wrote this big article, who they believe who it is. Or okay. Maybe they don't even believe. I don't know. I just thought it was kind of interesting to bring up. It's a man named Pablo Camilo. C-A-M-I-L-O. He goes by the name Morbid.
Okay.
He has many pictures of him in the Cecil Hotel, possibly at the same time Elisa was staying there.
Okay.
He might use the username Vlad666. In some of his pictures, in the background, you can see pictures on the wall or something of the Black Dahlia, Ted Bundy. And just like creepy serial killers and stuff.
Right.
So you can see those in the background. He has posted jokes about her death. He has posted pictures with the caption, "The killer is me." While he's supposedly staying at the Cecil Hotel after all this is happening. Supposedly.
Right. Allegedly.
He plays in a band called Slit Wrist. I think he's played in a band called Death of Desire. And another band called Inflictor and Crucifier. And supposedly he's written lyrics about her in some of his songs.
Really?
I'm not sure. I didn't listen to it. I didn't try to find his music.
Right.
But apparently he's deleted a ton of his stuff. And it's because he was getting feedback people accusing him of being a big part of this.
Oh, okay. I guess that one escaped me. I never came across any of this stuff when I was doing my research.
Well, so. He's threatened a lot of people for slander or libel. But we aren't saying he did any of this stuff.
Right.
We're just saying this one website said that he was
a person of interest. Yes. So he was a person of interest at one point, though?
I don't know. That's what this one website posted about him.
Gotcha.
Is
that he was doing all this weird shit?
Yeah, I just think he was weird. I think he's one of those... I mean, his freaking name's Morbid, so...
Right.
Or his nickname.
Right.
So, anyways, go check out his bands.
Yeah.
Free advertisement. Go buy his CDs. Go support him. Anyways, it's just one of the weird things that goes with all this weirdness.
Yeah, that is a little odd. I never came across that one.
So.
And all that jazz.
So here's the conspiracy Illuminati twist. Her Twitter account is still up, and the username shows as L.L. and is at LAMBETES. So you can still go see her Twitter page is up.
Right.
On January 13th, before her death, she tweeted an article about something, and it was titled Canadian Company Invents Invisibility Cloak.
Yes.
The company was funded by the Pentagon, apparently. And supposedly, after she went missing and before her body was found, several Facebook pages using her name popped up. One was called Lam Elisa. It had only one friend. Friend?
Friend.
Did I say it funny?
Friend. A little bit.
I felt like I sent it.
You almost put a little Canadian spin to it. I don't know if that was on purpose. He's my friend, eh?
And it was a man, the only friend on that account was a man working in the U.S. Army. He was working on a U.S. Army base in North Korea. Tyler, what do you know?
North Korea?
I don't know. Huh? Military. I know you're Navy, but maybe you know something. Son of a bitch.
I don't know nothing.
He had this weird look on his face when he was talking about the invisibility cloak, though.
I know, and his tongue slithered out.
A little bit.
A little reptilian bastard. Okay. Also, this is kind of weird. If you use Google Maps to look at the Hotel Cecil, or Cecil Hotel, it's they changed the name, I believe, to the main,
like the main street.
Stay on Main or something?
Yeah, Stay on Main. That's what it is.
Anyways, so apparently there's a pin drop to a company called the Invisible Light Agency. Apparently they are specialists in lighting effects. A man linked to the company, supposedly, is Anthony B., which I couldn't find anything else on this, but he is a supervisor of a weapon development company. Their logo is a triangle inside a, like a two-thirds of a triangle inside of a one-third triangle. I don't know. The triangles mean Illuminati, obviously, so.
What's the name of the company again?
Invisible Light Agency.
Great, Invisible Light. Hey, that's the first thing that pops up. I just typed invisible, and Invisible Light Agency is the first thing that pops up. Yeah, it is. It's a weird little logo.
They had a website, but apparently it's gone. People had seen the website and said it seemed fake. About 1 minute of the footage is edited out of the police surveillance footage that was found, so people also think there's something fishy there. Some think that the footage may have been her running from someone using stealth invisible technology and was attacking her.
Hmm.
Which, I mean, why not?
Right, why not? We are a conspiracy theorist show, so nothing is beyond the realm of possibility.
Well, let's take a step out of the conspiracy zone again and go back into the paranormal. The elevator game.
Yeah, I've heard about the elevator
game. Have you heard the elevator game?
It's stupid.
So, she may have tried to play this. And here are the rules to the most dangerous game known to man. That's everywhere you look, it's got the quotes, most dangerous game. So we are not telling you to play this game, but if you do, let us know what happens.
Hashtag caution.
Don't try this at home, kids.
Most times I don't have elevators.
Yeah.
Only Tyler. There you
go. Okay, so there can only be one player. The requirements is you need one building, at least 10 stories high, with an elevator, obviously, since it's the fucking elevator game. All three of these conditions must be met in order for the game to proceed. Here are the instructions. Venturing out. Enter your chosen building and get into the elevator on the first floor alone. Do not proceed if anyone else is in the elevator with you. Press the button for the fourth floor. When the elevator reaches the fourth floor, do not get out. Instead, remain in the elevator and press the button for the second floor. When you reach the second floor, remain in the elevator and press the button for the sixth floor. When you reach the sixth floor, remain in the elevator and press the button for the second floor. When you reach the second floor, remain in the elevator and press the button for the tenth floor. When you reach the tenth floor, remain in the elevator and press the button for the fifth floor. When you reach the fifth floor, a young woman may enter the elevator. Do not look at her. Do not speak to her. She is not what she seems. I'm getting a little bit of chills, and I've read this before. Press the button for the first floor. If the elevator begins ascending to the 10th floor instead of descending to the first, you may proceed. If the elevator descends to the first floor, exit as soon as the door opens. Do not look back. Do not speak. Ooh, I'm getting more chills.
This would be the best fucking prank to pull on somebody after reading this.
If you reach the 10th floor, you may either choose to get off the elevator or stay on it. If you choose to get off, and if the woman entered the elevator on the fifth floor, she will ask you, "Where are you going?" Do not answer her. Do not look at her. You will know whether you have arrived at the other world by one indication, and one indication only. The only person present in it is you. So, that's how you get to the other world from this elevator game. Now the return trip. Because you gotta get home.
Right.
I don't want to give someone halfway there and then they're like, oh, secret transmission fucked us.
Damn that podcast.
If you choose to stay on the elevator at the 10th floor, press the button for the first floor. If it doesn't work, keep pressing it until it finally does. When the elevator reaches the first floor, exit as soon as the doors open. Do not look back. Do not speak. If you choose to exit the elevator on the 10th floor, you must use the same elevator to return as the one which you arrived. When you enter the elevator, press buttons in the same order you did in steps 2 through 8 of the venturing out. You should finish at the 5th floor. Whew.
This is a whole lot of... I mean, who... Somebody's tested this. Somebody's done this.
Okay, I'll get to my theory when we get done with this, because I got a theory about this.
I gotta get online later, and I gotta see if somebody has actually played the elevator game and actually gotten it on video.
This could be a whole podcast right here.
Oh, probably.
Dude, we should do a podcast doing the elevator
game. I don't know if I can do it. One person at a time, though.
Ah, well, okay.
When you reach the fifth floor, press the button for the first floor. The elevator will again begin to ascend to the 10th floor. Press any other floor's button to cancel the ascension. You must press the button you use to cancel the ascension before you reach the 10th floor. After you reach the first floor, check your surroundings carefully. If anything seems off, even the smallest detail, do not exit the elevator. If you detect something wrong, repeat step 2 until your surroundings look as they should. Once you are confident you have returned to your own world, you may safely exit the elevator. Here's some additional notes.
Oh, great.
I know, there's so many fucking rules. Should you reach the other world, the floor onto which you will emerge will look almost identical to the one from your own world. Save for two things, all the lights will be off. Save for two things, all the lights will be off. Oh, maybe it's supposed to be except for two things. I don't know. I just copied and pasted this. It's not my fuck up this time. All the lights will be off, and the only thing you will be able to see from the windows is a red cross in the distance. Some say the electronic devices, mobile phones, cameras, MP3 players, etc., don't work in the other world. Others say they do. Getting back to your own world may be more difficult than it seems. You may become disoriented and forget which elevator in which you arrived. The elevator may seem to get further and further away from you as you walk towards, and so on. Be vigilant and keep your wits about you. If at any point during the ritual you faint, pass out, or otherwise lose consciousness, you will likely wake up in your own home. However, be sure to carefully examine your surroundings upon waking in the home to which you have returned may not be the one that you left when you first set out to attempt this ritual. Concerning the woman on the fifth floor, again, do not speak to her, do not look at her. If you do, she may decide to keep you for her own. The elevator game.
Is she hot?
I mean,
you know.
Don't look, you can't look at her, so you don't know.
I feel like I've seen something really close to this in a movie.
I mean, why not?
Called Close Encounters or something. It's called...
Of the Encounter. Third kind?
No. It's a ghost movie where they go and spend the night in an old insane asylum or something. And then, like, they try to leave, and then, like, they're trying to help their buddy who got hurt at the insane asylum. They go to the hospital, and, like, they get in the elevator. And once they're in the elevator, like, they're back in... The elevator door opens, and they're back in the insane asylum.
Ooh, I don't know.
Ooh, that's neat.
You figure that movie out and let us know.
Let me find out. It was a pretty one, like, interesting one.
Was it a porn?
Possibly.
So what was the theory that you have with the CDC that you were telling us about off the microphone?
So, during my research, I came across something that's very fascinating. Around the time that this Alyssa Lamb thing was going on, there was an outbreak of tuberculosis in Skid Row. Guess what the name of the test is that they test for tuberculosis?
The Alyssa test?
It's called the Lamb Alyssa.
Ooh.
It's spelled exactly the same. It's L-A-L-A-M hyphen E-L-I-S-A.
Ooh.
Yeah. And in fact, whenever you go in to type in Lamb Alyssa CDC tuberculosis test, the first like 10 results are Alyssa Lamb.
Really?
Yes.
So what are you trying to say?
I'm saying that this whole thing is possibly a smokescreen for an outbreak of TB that was going on, and they just didn't want the public to find out, because they had to hunt down, like, I think I read, like, 300 homeless people and test them to make sure that, you know, they were clean.
So how does Alyssa Lamb fit into this?
It was a distraction.
I mean, so you're saying the CDC is...
The whole thing was bullshit. The whole incident, the whole... Because, I mean...
So she never existed.
Yeah, she never existed.
I mean, an actor.
Right.
Ooh, so like a false flag kind of...
Exactly.
I mean, not false flag, because this isn't like national level, but...
Right.
Still enough to distract the people of that area.
Exactly. So they create this...
Crazy story
about this cute little Asian college student that dies at this haunted hotel, and they name her Alyssa Lamb when you've got
that way, if you're searching for...
You find Alyssa Lamb.
Yeah.
Because apparently you can go to her Instagram page, and there's no pictures of her from, like, the neck up.
You know what? And I think, because I did go look at her Twitter.
Uh-huh.
I don't think there was ever pictures of her.
That's the problem with a lot of her social media that people are finding out, is you can't actually find pictures of her. Huh. You're telling me that a 20-something-year-old in 2013 isn't going to be doing...
Selfies, MySpace.
Hashtag duckface. Yeah. Know, whatever. Right.
Weird.
Right.
See, and now I wish I would have looked more into her social media, because I wanted to see where that... To make sure that invisible thing didn't get deleted.
And before anyone tries to say that, oh, she was depressed, she didn't want her face... I have a friend on Twitter who is... like borderline suicidal all the time.
Oh, and she's shucks. Always. I thought you were talking about me. You.
And she's always posting selfies on one of her social media things. So it's to say it was her condition. No, it's every 20-something nowadays is hashtag.
you know, hashtag don't look good today.
Yeah, hashtag ugly girl problems.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah.
You know.
No, I know. Yep. It's the attention-seeking, not attention-seeking kind of...
I'm thinking... And also her sister's account. I know she had a Twitter. On her Twitter, she had 4 posts before her sister went missing, and only 6 after her sister went missing, and then nothing. That account's been pretty much inactive since all this went down.
You said mything.
Mything?
Yeah, well, and then you fixed it. Nope. You make fun of me. I'm going to get this myth thing.
It was my Mike Tyson. It came out.
So, do you want to hear a really weird coincidence?
Yeah, I'm all... See, the CDC one, I thought was a huge coincidence.
No, that's really weird.
Because just now, when I was looking up Lamb Alyssa to make sure that's what the test was called, I wanted to double check. Alyssa Lamb's like the first 10 things. You have to scroll down a little bit to get to the CDC. You can actually look up an article on like a health.org site on that particular outbreak around that time, because it was like early March.
Really?
When that was going down.
Huh.
Yeah, so late February, early March, right around the time, you know, all that was, the Alyssa Lamb stuff was going on.
So you think that maybe it... I don't know, man. I don't know. That's weird.
And another thing about the video, the timestamps, like I said earlier, are all jacked up. You really can't read anything on it. And there's a video on YouTube where he breaks down the minutes, and it shows that there's a huge gap, and that the video itself has been sped up to make it look weird.
Sped up or slowed down?
I'm sorry, slowed down. Slow down to make it look weird.
Because yeah, I know on mic, off mic earlier, you were saying something about it being slowed down.
He sped it up
to
what it should look like. And he even shows you, if you look at the ticker, here's a minute going by, here's another minute going by, and he goes, watch this real quick. You see a couple seconds go by, and then another minute goes by.
Right.
Where they had cut off at least 54 seconds of video.
Hmm.
So, you know, there's great...
If you got a 5-minute video and you speed it up, that'll make it lose time. Is that what it is?
Well, they slowed it down.
So that would extend it.
Right. They slowed it down to extend it because they cut out a minute.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Okay. Huh.
And then this guy's like, no, that's not what happened here. Because he sped it up to like 135%, and she looks normal. She looks like she's just playing around on an elevator.
Right. Well, I mean, yeah, that's kind of what the video looks like. If you're just like, oh, here's a random footage of a chick on an elevator, you wouldn't think anything of it. What catches the attention is she's found in a water tank, all the weird stuff surrounding it.
You know, if there weren't...
If that happened.
Well, the thing is, they say there was an autopsy, okay? You see the video, you see that one picture of, like, all the firefighters on the roof.
Right.
Supposedly, two of the guys standing there in plain clothes are reporting.
Okay, so we our equipment pissed out on us.
Malfunction.
Yeah, malfunction.
The Illuminati were onto us.
The man is trying to keep us down.
That's right.
So we took an unexpected... We talked probably for... We have no idea how long we talked for. So we had some great conclusions and great theories, and no one, it's just gone. No one's ever going to hear it.
Nope.
But
nothing we can do about it now.
In case we didn't say it, we were talking about like how it could have been a weird concoction of her taking too many of one medicine or not enough of one medicine, making different kinds of cocktails. Rudy had a good explanation of possible sleepwalking
because of the concoctions.
There's a lot of crazy, crazy cases that this could have gone.
Right.
But the CDC stuff and the, which I hope that all is still in this.
Look up the CDC. Look up the name of the test for tuberculosis, and the first thing you're going to find is Alyssa Lamb. It's not going to be because it's the Lamb Alyssa test. And I mean, it's spelled the same way. It's ridiculous. And to me, that goes to the uncreativity of Hollywood anyway, because look at all the stupid-ass reboots they did this summer.
Well, it's... Thank you for the perfect segue ever that you didn't know that you were creating.
Oh, yes.
So, here's the last weird coincidence I have, and then we'll get to our final thoughts. In 2002, a Japanese film was released called Dark Water.
Yes, I was going to bring this up. I'm glad you did.
In 2005, an American remake of the same name was made. The movie is about Dahlia, a mother trying to get custody for her daughter, Cecilia. They move into an apartment. So, right here, let me point some stuff out.
Black Dahlia.
Black Dahlia.
Cecilia, Cecil Hotel.
There you go.
Yep.
They're real close.
Very close.
It's a weird coincidence, maybe. The movie is about the death of a little girl who drowned in a water tank at the top of an apartment.
And people start having weird experiences, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
In the movie, they have dark-colored water, just like at the Cecil Hotel.
Uh-huh.
At the end of the movie, the elevator malfunctions. And, you know, it's sort of similar to the footage.
Another little tidbit, too. Jennifer Connelly's character in that movie, toward the end, is wearing almost the identical outfit.
Oh, shut up. See, I haven't seen the movie.
Like, a red long-sleeve shirt with a black, like, knee-high dress. Yeah.
So, see, I wanted...
Or, like, skirt.
I wanted to try to find this movie. I'm lazy.
For real. I mean, they showed, like, a side-by-side on a video that I watched of this. It's Jennifer Connelly wearing the almost identical outfit that Elisa Lam was wearing when she was in the elevator.
That's nuts.
It was stupid how accurate it was, or how close it was.
Have you seen the movie?
I've heard of it. I've seen parts of it on TV.
Have you seen it, Tyler?
I have not.
Oh, well, fuck all.
But yeah, that's another... again, coincidences. What better to fake a death than going through a Hollywood plot to a stupid movie?
Yeah, because this is 2013 that her thing happened. The movie was...
2002 in Japan and 2005 in America.
And there was actually a short film before that. I didn't bother to get the name of it or any details on it. But still, and the Japanese version, the names aren't the same. Like, they changed it for the American version, which is weird.
Not really. They do it all the time. Like, The Ring they did, they did the same thing.
What? I just find it weird. I don't know.
They changed the names.
Well, I didn't look up to see what the names are, but still, usually, I don't know.
You know, going from...
One culture to another, yeah. Yeah, I guess that makes sense. I don't know.
You try to make it more relatable, but, I mean, come on. Dahlia and Cecil?
Yeah.
Or Cecile?
Cecilia.
Cecilia, come on, son. That's not even trying at this point.
So, final thoughts. Which do you believe? Which is your best guess?
I really want to go logical and say that she was sleepwalking, she was on a concoction, and it was unfortunate. But, again, I don't believe in coincidences. There are too many goddamn coincidences. I think it's, like you said earlier, false flag. I think it's fake. Just to hide something else that was going on at the time with the CDC.
Right.
Because, like I said, you can look up Lam Elisa, you get Elisa Lam.
Right.
You get the whole mystery instead.
Tyler?
She got carried away with that elevator game.
She woke up in the wrong dimension or something, and...
Yep.
Let's see.
I think we should totally prank him on that sometime.
Excuse me, what?
Oh, I'm sorry. We're doing things. You just edit that out later.
I'm gonna go with... You know, it's really hard to pick one because, like, if the elevator footage didn't exist, then it would be easy to be like, oh, yeah, it was an accident. But the elevator footage does exist, and it's creepy, and her hand motions, and...
And it's, to me, usually when the police show you a video, it's to help their case in defining the killer, right?
Right.
This made no sense. There was absolutely no reason for them to show anyone this video.
Maybe like they were posting it like, we reassure you that she was alone that night.
But everything in the video, according to them, contradicts that by saying, look, she's outside talking to someone. If anybody knows who she's talking to, drop us a line.
As weird as the elevator footage is, I still think I want to lean towards the fact that it had to be someone that was living there, or more than likely, I believe it would be someone that works there, that can turn off alarms, like you said, that can have the keys, that can be in and out, or maybe they committed the crime beforehand and knew that they could hide a body up there.
And this is still an unsolved case, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Hell,
well, it's solved, as in it was called a accident
or accidental drowning. Uncertain. They checked it off as uncertain, though, right?
Right. Yeah. But still, I think they pretty much have closed the book on it. I don't think it's an open, active case. I think it's
because it's not real.
I think if anything, it's unsolved because the internet's like, no, we're not going to...
That's true.
You can't tell us this is unsolved, right, or that this is solved, because it's not. There's clearly questions.
Right.
So I think it's more the internet's keeping it alive rather than anything else.
Sorry. Siri decided to go off
Siri,
for some reason.
Keep... Shut your mouth and know your place.
Places to hide a dead body? Water tower?
ask her if the water tower is a good place to hide a dead body.
Siri.
Sorry, I didn't get that.
Oh, jeez. Siri, is a water tower a good place to hide a dead body?
Very funny.
Oh, no. Even she's not taking this seriously.
Ask her if she knows who killed Elisa Lambs.
You really want to go down this rabbit hole, my man?
I just want to see. I just want your house
who
to be...
Who killed Elisa Lamb?
Okay, give me a moment.
No, it brings up the...
Okay, I found this on the web for who killed Elisa Lamb.
Yeah.
Too bad. That would have been great if she would have just spouted out a name.
If she would have said, like, Illuminati. I'd have thrown my phone, and I'd have chunked it.
Smashed it. That's our Ask Siri segment.
Yeah.
I guess that's it, though, guys. We'll wrap this up, and...
Trust no one.
Trust no one. Trust everyone.
No one.
Trust the CDC, because...
The only person you should really need to trust is fluoride.
I knew it was coming. Yeah. As soon as he said, the only, I was like, here it comes.
Fluoride.
Fucking fluoride. Alright, well that's gonna do it, guys. Adios.
Ciao.
Later.
We'd like to thank you for listening to us try to explain the mysterious death of Elisa Lamb. If you have any... theories of your own, you can contact us on Twitter at SecretTransPod. You can email us secrettransmission@hotmail.com, or you can leave us a voicemail and just so we can hear your voice and we'll play it on the show. And our voicemail number is 304-602-7444. You can call and leave us a message about any previous episode, maybe an episode you want to hear, or if you just want to say hi and hear your voice on our show, you can do that too. You can find our show on iTunes. Please, please, I'm begging you, give us some reviews. We haven't had one since October. And you can also find us on Stitcher, Google Play, YouTube, Satchel. Just search for Secret Transmission Podcast. You can hear us every Sunday on the Podcast Radio Network at 10 p.m. Eastern. That's podcastradionetwork.net. And we're right after the Tattooed Bananas. 10 p.m. Eastern Time on Sundays, Podcast Radio Network. And I guess that's going to do it. Next week, our episode is going to be on Baba Vanga. So we hope you come back and listen to us try to explain the unexplainable.
Say goodbye, Roger.